Well, welcome back, ladies, to our Bible study segment. This is where we open up the Word, and we are taught from the Word. And today we are back in the book of Romans, and our teacher, Beth Seifert, is standing by with today's lesson. Thank you so much, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, today we're going to see more about Abraham. Paul's still talking about Abraham in Romans and sharing how that relates to where we are at today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 4. We'll be in verses 13 through 25. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We can look really, really good from the outside. We can look like we're the most amazing people in the world. We can appear to keep all the rules. We can toe the line, control our behavior, and look really good. We look moral. We keep all the right rules, make all the right moves. The only problem is just keeping the rules doesn't bring righteousness. Just because others look at us and they don't see us fail, they don't see us fall, doesn't mean we don't fail or fall. We all do. All of us. If it is only by obedience to the law that we are saved, then faith in Christ is completely irrelevant. We would be putting our faith in ourselves, not him. After all, if we could perfectly obey the law, we wouldn't need anyone else to save us. We'd be saving ourselves. If the promise only comes to those who keep the law, then faith doesn't matter. I'm reminded that even the demons believe and shudder. Ladies, even Satan and his minions know that Christ is the Messiah. Satan knows Scripture too. There were lots of good moral Pharisees in Jesus' day, and what did he call them? Whitewashed tombs. He said their mouths were open and they showed the decay within their hearts. But wait, they kept the law. How could they be whitewashed tombs? Because they didn't trust in God for their salvation, they trusted in their own ability to keep the law. How hopeless for anyone who realized that they couldn't keep the law on their own. The law brings wrath because it shows us so clearly how sinful we are. And whose wrath might that be? Not our wrath. No, the law brings the wrath of God as we see our need for a rescuer. Think for a minute about how hopeless our lives would be if we had to keep the law perfectly in order to be righteous. Remember, if at any one point you break the law, you've broken the whole law. So there's that one sin that you struggle with. No matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to stop doing that one sin. Well, seeing as how you can't keep from committing that one sin, you might just as well give up on ever being righteous. Since it all depends on your own strength, you might just as well quit trying, since obviously you can't get it right. In that case, only the strong will be saved. God can declare a sinful man righteous, even though he is still sinful, by imputing or assigning Christ's righteousness to us, just as God declared Jesus' sin and punished him, though he wasn't a sinner at all. So Paul has shown us that the justification for our salvation is through faith, not works. Then Paul showed us that salvation is through grace, not through the law. And now? Now Paul shows us where our salvation comes from, the source of that faith and the source of that grace. Abraham had hope when, from a human perspective, it was impossible for him to become the father of many nations. His faith didn't weaken even as he watched himself and Sarah get older and older. He didn't doubt God's promise. He believed God, demonstrating that he knew God existed and knew that God would keep his promises. And God was glorified through that belief. Abraham was justified by faith, and we know that we too can be justified by faith in Christ who was raised from the dead. The fact that he was raised from the dead gives us confidence in his promise that we too will be raised up from the dead to be with him. He was delivered over to the hands of men to be sacrificed for our sins. And he was raised up showing that God accepted the sacrifice that Christ gave on our behalf. Debt paid. Abraham received the gospel message. Did you realize that? In Genesis 12, verse 3, the final part of the covenant that God made with Abraham was that through Abraham's seed, all the world would be blessed. Here we see that Paul understood that seed to be a direct reference to Christ. Indeed, in Genesis, it refers to a single descendant, not generic descendants that would change the world or that all the world would be blessed through, but one. So Abraham received the gospel in this way. Have faith in God to provide through your descendants one descendant who will come, and through that descendant, I will provide a blessing beyond what you can ask or imagine for all the earth. Abraham had faith in God to provide such a blessing through this descendant. He didn't know his name or the circumstances of his arrival, but Abraham's faith in God to provide this Messiah demonstrates that Abraham believed in Christ, and that was where his faith was at. Abraham clung to that faith in God and in the coming blessing. This idea of Abraham having the gospel shared with him is backed up in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 16, where it says, "Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, 'and to offsprings,' referring to many, but referring to one, 'and to your offspring, who is Christ.'" Isn't it nice to know that the promise comes by faith in Christ and we don't have to rely on our own ability to save ourselves? It's not through outward appearance or through our parents or family or anything other than Christ that saves us. It doesn't matter if you were born into a family of atheists. It doesn't matter if you were born into a family of thieves. It is only dependent on your repentance and accepting of Christ as Lord. That's it. God calls into existence that which does not exist. Simply with his words, he spoke the universe into being. He gives life to the dead and to the barren. Abraham didn't waver in his faith, but he clung to the promise God gave him. Not because Abraham was amazing, but because Abraham knew that God is able to do what he promised. Faith will also be credited to us when we believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. Faith is then credited to us as righteousness. Abraham had faith in the one he had not seen, to do the impossible, to bring life to Sarah, to save or resurrect that life years later when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham obeyed first. He obeyed God when it didn't make sense. For years, Abraham wandered around, literally, not knowing where he was going, just because God told him to. We are all called to trust in God and the promises he has made. Abraham trusted in God and through faith believed that a Savior was coming through his line. That was the only glimpse that Abraham got of Christ, ladies. Yet with that glimpse, with the faith that God gave him, Abraham trusted that God would bring it all about. we have the benefit of looking backward and seeing Christ, seeing how he fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures, seeing how the whole Bible is not a story about us, but his story. We can look back and see what he did and trust those beautiful eyewitness accounts of his death and resurrection. We also have his Holy Spirit poured out upon us like a deluge to guide and convict and direct and train us up. So why then do we struggle with trusting him with our day-to-day things? Why do we struggle in trusting that he will keep the promise to hold us tightly in his hand and to come back for us, his precious bride? We too are looking forward, just as Abraham did. We're looking forward to Christ's return. We have so many more benefits, if you will, than the Old Testament saints had, yet we're also so much more distracted by our world and the lies that our culture tells us. We find it hard to believe that anyone could be as trustworthy as God is. But he is always. If you're struggling with an area of your life today, whatever area it is, do you know that he is big enough to handle it and to provide whatever you need, be it patience, strength, endurance, whatever, to persevere? What is a lack for you is not a lack for him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There is nothing that is not his. So trust him. Give whatever is burdening your heart over to him without demanding the answers to your questions. Just give it to him. And dig into his word and pray and talk to him. Let him guide your footsteps. He is faithful, though every man be a liar. Don't believe the age-old lie of Satan that you can't trust God. You can trust him today and every day.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.